Hello, I am Jessica and I write and I read romance.
Hi, I'm Emma and I'm also an author of contemporary and fantasy romance novels so far.
So far, so good. I thought we'd grace you with our presence because we met about a year-ish ago through the RNA, which is the Romance Novelists Association, and we co-admined the fantasy group there, and we kind of figured out along the way that people weren't really giving fantasy and sci-fi, paranormal, anything speculative, the love that we think it deserves. So as with anything, if it's not there, make it. So here we are.
We are. And we've decided to structure our podcast series with six episodes where we'll talk about fantasy and sci-fi romances that we've really enjoyed. And we'll link them through 6 degrees of separation. So we'll think of a trope or a theme that's familiar between two of them. And we'll move on to talk about the next one, just because it will give us an opportunity to think about the things we enjoy about the genre, and the things that the authors are doing differently to make it really fresh and interesting and what captured our interest.
We also like bacon, like Kevin Bacon, which is all the link as well.
Of course. Yeah.
I like bacon. So, yeah, the first one we have picked, it's kind of up there because BookTok at the minute has blown up with this lady. Ruby Dixon, she has done a load of books, and I have had a Year of the Dragons recently, so we've decided to go for one called Fire in His Blood, which is, yeah, it's the first in the series of four, I think, at the minute, maybe five. And the link that we're going to use is Sacrifice. So once we start talking about that, you'll kind of see how that works.
Yeah, that will be the link to the second book, and then it'll be a different link to the next one
every week. That book.
So shall I read the blurb?
Go for it.
Tell you a bit about this book. So years ago, the skies ripped open and the world was destroyed in fire and ash. Dragons, once creatures of legend, are the enemy. Vicious and unpredictable, they rule the skies of the ruined cities, forcing humanity to huddle behind barricades for safety. Claudia's a survivor. She scrapes by as best she can in a hard, dangerous world. When she runs afoul of the law, she's left as bait in dragon territory. She only has one chance to survive, to somehow tame a dragon and get it to obey her. Except the dragon that finds her is as wild and brutal as any other, and he's not interested in obeying. What he is interested in is a mate.
Can't go wrong with that, can you?
No. So, shall we begin?
Yay! Here we go.
So, when Fire in His Blood starts, we are with Claudia and she's in a jail cell, isn't she?
Yeah.
Some description.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. I did like that we kind of dropped straight in and boom, yeah. Uh-oh.
I think Ruby Dixon's really good at that, at getting you like right into the action straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no, you are just landing on your bum and just, hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So we have Claudia Jones, best surname ever for our protagonist, who is 25. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she seems quite interesting to start with. It kind of really pulled me in how she was, yeah. I really liked her. Even just after a few pages, she was a bit sassy, a little bit understanding what's going on. And yeah, she's had a bit of a rough deal, hasn't she, with the rift opening. We haven't really even mentioned the rift yet. We've got to start there.
No. Well, I suppose we kind of, it's, how much does the blurb really cover this then? Because it's kind of, it tells you that there's been this apocalyptic rift that's happened and that's brought all the dragons in and they've terrorized everyone. And now it's kind of Walking Dead type dystopia world.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, that's the thing about this one. It's not, yeah, it
kind of bleeds the edges, doesn't it? Because it's dragons, but it's also kind of dystopia. So it's
yeah, I was going to say, as fantasy goes, I didn't know where to put it. But yeah, dystopian kind of screams at you with, I've got this this vision of, I think it says there's buses in the walls. So yeah, just this real higgledy-piggledy thing that's just ready to collapse.
Yeah, definitely. And it's all, you know, martial law type thing, which, you know, I've got some notes about that, which we'll probably talk about a bit later when we get into just about, yeah, how that whole setup happens with dystopia.
Well, yeah, the genders do kind of get put into same kind of places.
That's
they
what I'm
going to
be talking
do.
About.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Yeah, we're on the same page.
So yeah, we start with her in this cell, having a bit of a play with the guards, wondering what's going on. She's been there a few times already, bless her, in the same situation, but this is a little bit different. So she's been dragged forward to this mayor, who is kind of, it's Fort Dallas, isn't it, where they are? So
yeah,
we're assuming US Dallas. It's it's never specifically said that it is in the US, but
assuming so. Yeah, because it's not, if it was like massively in the future, like, you know, 2121 or something, you could be like, what's happened to the countries and the continents? Sometimes they all like merge and become one thing, don't they? Like a global country, but that's, it's just, it's only a few years away. We got that to look forward to after the pandemic, haven't we?
We can all go out, holy crap, there's dragons everywhere. It's raining dragons.
And that, actually, that's funny because I read this before the pandemic the first time, like it was quite a few years ago when it came out, and reading it now was a little, it was a little bit different. Like having been through, not, you know, it's obviously it didn't get as, you know, the whole like stockpiling and supermarket stuff, but there is one point where she's going about how she misses those, she remembers those days of like going out to the mall with her friends. I'm like, me too.
While I'm crawling through Morrison's trying to get a loaf of bread from that elderly lady.
You know, when you're fighting over the last toilet roll and stuff like that.
Yeah, pull before the judge, God. But yeah, very similar to how we're living now, kind of. But so yeah, so she's pulled out of the jail cell, dragged along. She's given a bath as well. She's never had anything. It's kind of a bucket in the corner.
And
I hope for the best. And now she's got a dress and a bath, which is
kind
of,
they've been talking, haven't they, because she goes into that trial and like with the mayor, and he's like, you know, we've got to make an example of you and stuff because you're stealing batteries. And she's like, you fucking tosser, you've got a battery in your laptop right there.
Yeah,
he doesn't appreciate that, does he?
No
And then this captain is like, we could use her.
It's like a moment in the back.
And she says this one thing, like where she's thinking, and it's like this alarm bell's ringing because he said about bait girls, and she's like, past tense bait girls? Like, what's happened to these bait girls? Yeah, that's like what you were saying. Her voice is like, it's really engaging because she's...
Yeah,
she's worrying about all the things you'd be worried about, and she's quite street smart, but also funny as well.
So well, she's got a lot on her shoulders, hasn't she? Because it kind of sets it up really perfectly that she's there, and she's got a sister, and she's got another friend, and she's kind of the leader, I suppose. She's the one who goes out and does exactly what she can. You know, her other friend Sasha does it as well, but she kind of takes them all under her wing, even though she's not that much older. It's kind of all on her shoulders.
Yeah, and that was funny because, like, before I reread it for this, in my head, I thought of Amy as being, like, maybe about 16. That was how I remembered her. And then when I read it and it was like she's only 2 years younger, I was like, oh, okay. So it's just the way she's talked about the whole way through, because Claudia just always wants to look after her. And, you know, and she's injured, isn't she? She hasn't...
she's got a bad leg.
Yeah, she broke her leg and it hasn't healed properly. And So she's, yeah, she's more vulnerable, but also you get the idea that she's been coddled a bit, I guess, maybe. Like Claudia's just taken that responsibility on her shoulders, hasn't she?
Yeah, exactly. She's kind of sold it that she is the parent. She's made herself that role, and it's sold really well.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's had a bath. And
she's had a bath. She's put a new dress on. And then she puts a pile of clothes down next to five other piles of clothes.
Yeah. Oh, that is such a moment. Bait piles.
Yeah. The five other baits, they'll get their clothes back. Oh, they're still here. Uh-oh.
And then they march her off beyond into what they call it, the scavenger lands.
Yes.
All the bit.
I mean, I want to say beyond the wall, but that's...
Mixing our fantasy books there a little bit. But I mean, this is dragons. Roman. I have to say, it does have strong Khaleesi vibes, like later on.
It very much does, yes.
Yeah.
We shall go into all of these things.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, they take us through the wall, beyond the wall. Again, there's like Thunderdome in there for me, beyond the wall.
Yeah.
Mad Max now. And they take her up some stairs in like a derelict building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of every single step of the way, the kind of those alarm bells are getting louder and louder. Yeah. And then they attach it to a pole.
Yep. Just by the ankle. To start off with, she's got the...
Oh, yeah, they undo a cuff.
But I don't know why they bother with the handcuffs. Take them off. But it's like, I mean, I did wonder about that thing, because like then she realises what she's there for, doesn't she? For like, she's bait for a dragon. And they think that she'll be able to tame him.
Tame him.
Or they've heard about it. And I wondered this, because they said they heard about it from Fort Orleans, didn't they? That a woman had did it. And I was like, where's that story? Do you know? Mm. Is there a story that goes
with
that one?
I've not seen them. No, I think I've gone through like four or five after, but never before.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was like maybe a prequel or something to it. Ooh. But
there might be now.
Yeah.
Dear me.
It gave me it gave me very strong vibes of King Kong, you know, when she's like tied up to the post and screaming and the big monster's coming for her. And that's cool, because you get both point of views in this. You get hers and we're gonna call him Kyle, aren't we?
Kyle, yes, we
seems,
are.
Yeah. That's the way we've been advised. It's actually in the book, isn't it? Like, it sounds like Kyle.
Gravelly Kyle.
Okay. Who's the dragon?
Yes.
It's going to arrive. But obviously we don't get any of his point of view for like a fair bit into the book, which I think really helps to like build the tension, because it does feel like I did feel for her, like how scared she is. Just
skirting across the floor, trying to get away from this.
Yeah, like and trying not to scream or breathe when he's come, and not knowing what's going to happen. And there's been an attack as well, hasn't there? When she's at the barracks before.
Yes, they change all their timings, don't they? So we've missing loads, but we'll add it all in. So there's gold dragons and red dragons, and they come on certain days, always in the daytime, and they've got a pattern. It never changes until it does.
Yes.
And it does when she's in the jail cell.
Yes. Which, do we find out why that happens? Is that just because he could smell her, or it wasn't, was it?
Because it's not explained in this one. I think in later ones,
is it a later one?
Smell, I think, is quite a notable thing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Because that's something, isn't it? All this, the thing about the patterns and stuff like that, you know, no one really knows anything about the dragons, like why they're there, what they want, why they're destroying everything and they're so angry,
Why do they not come and do something, just burn things and rip people to pieces and things like that?
Yeah, so you can kind of see at the beginning where they're coming from a little bit, like they're obviously desperate. It's been 7 years and they're trying something, you know, but it's not great for Claudia or the five past tense bake girls that came
I was gonna say they're trying something. It's not really the best thing, but
and another question though that occurred to me. The previous bake girls, did Kyle eat them? We get no kind of thing. What, like, so it's the whole fated mate thing, isn't it? Because when he arrives and he sees her and he's like, she's the one for me. Yeah,
I like this one.
I like her, red hair. She's lovely. She smells right. I'm going to keep her.
So is that maybe what's happened that the other five, it's like celebrations. You start with like a Twix and he's like, no, I don't like that one. And then it's the sixth one. So that's what's drawing him back each time.
Maybe. He's finally just found, not like, the referenced Snickers. At all, no. Is it? Like,
no.
Yeah, I do. I did wonder about that towards the end. I was like, did one of, because there's another dragon, isn't there? There's that.
There is.
well, there's a couple. So maybe another dragon. Got them before our Kyle, but it did make me wonder with the fated mates thing, because that's, you know, a massive trope in fantasy romance.
Yes.
Is it just that they're like, oh, you're appropriately aged and fertile and female and smell nice, you're my mate now, because I don't have anything else available, because the red dragons, they're cray cray. It's like they've gone.
I tried, but I failed.
Yep. They're just like, they've lost it. Is it just that they're available, or is it that they're the particular special one for them?
For them. Again, he doesn't say, it's just, she's mine. That's all we know. I like that. I've always liked that.
See, I think this was probably the first one I read that was kind of along those lines where I was like, okay, yeah, I have to admit, it's not my normal favourite thing. I'm not very much like into the, we're meant to be, there's no like choice sort of thing about it.
Neither's Claudian.
Exactly. And I think that's why I like Claudian. But it just works for this. I think you get so engaged in it, and it's just so interesting, like the action and the humour and the dragon.
I like the push and pull of it, that he's all for it, and it's like he just, there's no question in his mind. Mm-hmm. You, mine. Caveman hair pull, and she's like, no, and that, I love that back and forth with the two of them. It really worked for me.
So we have
Claudia, we have dragon. The funniest bit that I found was when he did start talking, he said inconceivable, and that was it was just that little dude out of Princess Bride that was in my head that I was tittering. Inconceivable. So we have Claudia, we have the dragon, and she is fighting tooth and nail to try and get away from this dude.
And
I can't remember the initial thing, but he's not a dragon anymore.
Does that happen quite quickly? We didn't even read this that long ago, how do we not know? But he does swap. This is it.
Yes.
It's quite quick. She says it's like a blink of an eye, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's trying to get away, and then it sort of changes. She opens her eyes and there's a man. It's like, oh, and then she doesn't know what to do with him either. Because he's naked and he's gold.
Yes, there is a lot of nakedness.
Yes, constant.
Does it distract you? Because it distracts me. I'm like constantly thinking, could you have a wash and put some clothes on so I can concentrate? I'm always thinking about them wandering around in like these rubble strewn places thinking, ouch, cold.
I'm more concerned by the fact that he's not passed out, because he's got an erection pretty much for 96% of the book.
Yeah, like whenever he is two-legged, he's really three-legged.
It's kind of like, oh bless, dude, come on.
Yeah. And I think that would, that is intimidating,
It would just get quite annoying at the end of it all.
Yeah, she's like, can you just put it away for a minute? Yeah, you know,
put it away or just sort it out. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very clear straight away that he's happy to see her.
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
Then the first word he learns, which I thought was really cool, was no.
No.
He picks up on no quite quickly. Which I thought was funny, not just from like, it's obviously, it's very important because like the consent thing between them, but also
because he can't speak anything.
No.
No.
It just
English.
Made me laugh because it's like kids always learn no first, don't they? It's like, because you say it to them all the time. Yeah, no, don't touch that.
Yeah. Yeah. Biscuit, no.
Mm-hmm.
Boobies, no. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of day one. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
but no, the consent is the massive thing from just, the first word, the first minute that he's naked, because she's got that, she's got a flimsy dress on. And I think, the captain rips it off as he ties her to the pole. So he ties her to the pole and they've got like a big old red flag, haven't they? Which you find out later is like the mating colours, which is why some of the dragons are red.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this big red flag unfurls. They rip her dress off and they go. And it's, dude. So, she's naked, he's naked, no.
Yeah. And then, and then they can't speak. So even though he arrives and he obviously is like, oh, lovely, and wants to go and touch her and things, and she's very clearly, no. That's all he understands. They can't speak to each other at all, which I just, that is a tough thing to write, I think. Yes. Like having two characters that just cannot communicate
just basic words.
Yeah.
Because, how are they even going to know gestures? You wouldn't, what would eat be to a dragon? Because it wouldn't be like, I do like with a spoon to my mouth. Nom, nom, no. Chomp,
because when he's trying to please her, so he realises... She's not going to be happy with me jumping on her.
You know what I need to give her? I need to give her dinner.
I need to give her a dead goat.
Yes. I need to drop uncooked. Its carcass with a big splat.
Here you are, love.
Eat that.
Wow. Yeah. And so she has to like try and mime how to cook it. It's like, wow. It's like, breathe on it. She's like, fire from your nose.
Yeah,
which he gets it
quite quickly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it's just a kind of poke at it. It's like, nope, that's too raw. I need it medium well.
Yeah, yeah. Just like check in and then get a little skewer. Put it in. Is it ready?
Yeah. Does it come out? Is it still got stuff on it? No. Go back in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But It was kind of quite flawless to me that I didn't stop and find it very clunky. It just worked. It was this to this to this.
Yeah.
And then no, it's amazing. And then a bit more. Yes. Yeah.
And obviously that's very like key to it, because the whole thing is to mate with her. He needs to mate with her so they can communicate.
Yes.
Because they have the telepathic link, don't they? Between
this is it. Yeah, so we find out when he starts talking that they're attacking because when they've come through the rift, something's happened and it's sent them a bit crazy. So they're kind of just full of murder and rage and death. And then he sends his mate and she calms him. So he knows he's got to try and calm himself by getting this woman. So, that's his sanity is kind of linked to her.
Yeah. Yeah, he has these, I mean, considering it's like a lot there, he just has this like black rage and his eyes change, don't they? Like they're gold when he's feeling okay and they go black when he's like intense, like fully black, isn't it? When like the rage gets him. But he does seem to control himself
quite
fairly well. Yeah, considering like they've all been raging for like 7 years. Yeah, black hole of madness for them. But then being near her and him, that's the whole fated mates thing, isn't it? It's like being near her helps to clear his mind.
So maybe that's how he knows that his mind's settled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe that's why they never brought up past Bait Girls, because he doesn't even remember them.
Yeah,
it didn't work for him. They weren't the ones, so they didn't clear his brain. So
snack. Midnight Sorry. Snack, those.
They were just collateral damage on the way to Claudia.
Yeah, bless them.
Yeah.
Ah, well. So, yeah, we find out that eventually she does try and escape him, which obviously big giant two bus worth of dragon doesn't happen. He's too big, too strong, too flyy, too pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure there's a proper word for that. Yes. Writers, the writer out there will tell me the proper word for flyy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And yeah, he brings her back and she kind of, okay, he's not going to kill me. He's not going to rape me. It's all good so far. He's trying to feed me. I'm a bit tired. Just, yeah. Ugh. And she kind of lies with him and he tucks her in and he's nice and toasty and she falls asleep. Yeah. And it's a
when
nice
he's
moment.
As
weirdly.
A dragon, isn't it? Yes. She curls up on him when he's a dragon.
And seriously, he sounds toasty warm.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk of that.
Yeah, he's hot. Oh, he sounds perfect. Honestly, he doesn't talk much. Understands not when he's really warm.
So yeah, let's talk about Kyle then. What you think? Because I think of him. I mean, he does have like a bit of a sense of humor when they can get to communicate a bit later.
Yes,
he's like a bitchy. But I do think of him very much as like this. Big, like, sort of dumb jock character, because he's very simple, isn't he? I think this is the part of the whole madness stuff, isn't it? That they don't remember. They don't, you know, even when he's got he's not going crazy, the madness is at bay. He doesn't remember why they're there or what happened, like where they came from. It's just like little bits and pieces. So there isn't a lot to him other than his love for Claudia and how he wants to be with her. Which is, you know, that's very
what I was
going to
say. Yeah, I think that's kind of done a lot for him with other readers and reviews that I've seen. People seem to love him because he is kind of that way. It's like, you know what? Yeah, I don't know about it. And when he kind of gets little snippets of, oh, I think I knew him before. And she asks him, he's like, no, don't really care. I've got you now. And I think that's kind of really nice. Yeah, yeah. That was it. That was past. You're the future.
That's kind of the appeal of that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think, well, I was going to say, doesn't everybody want that? No, obviously not. Because other people didn't like it very much. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. It works.
Yes.
I think it's the same for anything. There's like some things I'm not particularly keen on or that I'd go, maybe that could have been better. But it all depends on how it's written and the story. And I think with these ones, because I've read loads of Ruby Dixon now, and that's what you know you're getting. So if you're reading it, you know that it's very much about the hero is going to be absolutely 100% just besotted with the heroine. And it's
word that I was thinking. Besotted is the perfect description there. So, oh, bless, it's all good. So, yeah, so much so that she wakes up the next morning, curled up around him. And yeah, he's kind of stayed there all night, kept her warm and cozy, and he's then a bit growly and she's like, okay, what's going on? And we figure out that people have come back. The soldiers and stuff have come back, and she's like, oh, they've come to save me, they've come to help me. And then they say something and it's like, I can't remember what it said, but it was like, oh, you dickheads.
Yeah,
it was just like, yeah, oh, we'll see what's left.
Yeah. But like, why did they bother if they weren't going back? Was it just like curiosity? They just wanted to know if she was gone or not? Because a couple of them, when they're putting her there, there was like one in particular that is like, oh, I don't know, should we be doing this? So you kind of think, oh, okay, you know, they are a bit torn about it. There's some conflict there, but the ones that come back, it's like, I don't get it. he's mad. She tries to stop them from coming in, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Because she can see, like, Carl's going to kind of blow. And yeah, they do anyway. But he listens to her, doesn't he? And he just takes
it's
her.
It's the no again, isn't it? It's like, she's like, no! And he picks her up and he just goes.
Yeah, and they shoot her. They shoot at her, don't they?
Yes, they shoot at her and, that's like,
which again. Is, why are you doing that? Yeah. That's just crazy. The people are not nice in this. Dragons are much nicer in this
book. This is the thing. Yeah, when you can kind of come to have sympathy for the things that have been destroying the world for seven years and eating people against the people who are trying to save it, you've got to kind of stop and go, okay, really?
Well, I think that's it, isn't it? Because, like, they've... Yeah, she's fighting that the whole time, isn't she? She's kind of, like, coming from wanting to get back to her sister, which is there the whole time, and thinking of the dragons as the enemy, but then slowly starting to see, well, actually, he's not that bad, like you say. He's very gentle with her. Why is she trying to go back to the people that sacrificed her to, you know, certain death, really?
Yeah.
They didn't know what was going to happen. They had, like, you know, it was a one-off chance, really, wasn't it? If she could tame a dragon. Yeah, there's one, like, when they're doing that, and he's like, the captain's like, we'll figure it out when telling her how to tame. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll just figure out how to tame a massive dragon when you've just dropped me.
Is it like with a cat? If you've got like a spray bottle of water, you can just like.
He says that a little bit. I wrote that down when she's like, what should I do? Sit him on the nose with a
rolled up paper.
If he's bad, no, that's not going to work. He's humongous. No. He's like eyeballs the size of a tire or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the way the size is portrayed in it, and you like the massive wingspan from wall to wall. It's But yeah, it's kind of every character that you kind of see before him is just not nice. The mayor is a plonker, the captain is, the people that you hear about, the dude who sold her out, he's kind of like a pawn shop, hasn't he? That they take she takes all of her scavenged stuff to him and he sells her out. Her sister doesn't do very much, bless her, because of a leg, but her friend Sasha kind of sells herself to all of these other people to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And it's just, everybody along the way has just been awful to her. And then Kyle comes in and he's not.
Yeah. He is. And you can't blame her. You know, it's like you can't blame her to be like, do you know what? I'm just going to chill for a little bit with the dragon. Yeah. He's not going to let me run off. There's not much I can do. Maybe I'll just enjoy being looked after for a few days. It's like,
the fun and game side of things kick in, and it's like she's got water that she's not had forever. So she cleans up, and then it kind of builds up and she wants things. So he's like, you want a bed? I'll get you a bed. Cool. Yeah. Job done. Mm-hmm. You want a bath? I'll get you a bath. Cool.
Sure.
You know,
sofa. Yeah. We can do all that. Lovely.
God, you want to wear clothes? I'm not so happy, but
not so keen on the clothes, but let her wear some clothes, Carl, please.
Yeah. it does seem to be basically just t-shirt and pants, but knickers, panties.
They're always, I don't know what you want to call them. As well. And she gets pissed off at him for that.
Yeah, every single time.
For God's sake, just please.
Yeah, just this vision of like a claw coming in and just fading to the floor. Oh,
not again.
they kind of land on like a slightly destroyed office building and stay there for a little bit, and then it kind of they grow to like each other, and there's not many more words, is there? They sort of swap names. Figure that bit out, but I don't think there's any other words that they have other than Claudia. Claudia. Kyle and no.
Yeah. That's it, really.
But they manage they manage to kind of start talking, and everything is, you know, she says no, he stops and he backs away.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing. So people, reviews that I read, and I didn't see it again the first time I read it, I didn't see it so much. And then somebody pointed it out, and I'm like, oh, okay. But she does get a bit, whiny with it. And I'm like, I see it now, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm kind of that way. But if you've had nothing but crap up to a certain point,
mm-hmm.
if somebody then comes up and goes, have half a cow, I'll cook it for you, you're kind of going to go, yeah, but what do you want for the cow? Because it's not going to be easy. This was it.
I felt, yeah, because you mentioned that to me, like,
yeah,
you know, her being a bit pissy. And there's only one point in it, like a bit later on,
yeah,
after they've kind of come together and she's gone off and come back again, or he's rescued her again, hasn't he? Because it is like a rescue the other time, and she's like, she gets really irritable with him, and she pushes him away, even though she has given in at that point and she'll have him close. But even that, I could kind of understand, because she'd had like a really, really bad 7 years, week, particularly like the last 24 hours. It was,
yeah,
it was rough. And she's so torn. There's like, it's very clear, I think, in the second half of the book in particular, once they've like settled into, her trust has started to grow for him, but she becomes very torn, and there's no real good choices for her. She isn't given a choice about any of it. She's put in this situation. And even though she's starting to like him, she's still frustrated because she can't do what she wants to do, which is look after her sister and Sasha. Yeah. And, you know, she's, all the people back at Fort Dallas are awful, and they're not going to help her or be reasonable about anything. She's already discovered that.
Yeah, but it's the devil you know, isn't it? Against the devil you don't.
So I kind of, yeah, I don't feel like she's particularly whiny. I think it's kind of understandable.
Yeah, I like the way it played out in the end. But yeah, there was the bit at the end, as you said, that the kind of, so yeah, they do get together and they do have sex, obviously, because why would you not? And then, yeah, she... I don't know whether I liked it or not. So we probably jumped a giant chunk, but hey. So they end up having sex, and it gets to the point where he's like, yes, yes. And even to the point he's there, and he's like, yes. So she kind of
makes she's very eager. That point. Yeah, when she gives in, she properly is like,
she properly does it.
I'm doing this finally.
Yeah, legs akimbo and ready. Mm-hmm. And then he has to give his fire to her.
Yeah.
So he has to give his venom, fire in his blood, to her. Yeah. So he can ejaculate into her. Otherwise, there will be fire, and no amount of yogurt will fix that fire.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, God. There is no Greek yogurt in the world that will do the trick for that.
Yeah.
So he bites her just at the pinnacle moment, and she's like, ow, 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 ow.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then she hits him with like a bit of building or something.
Yeah.
And knocks him out.
Yeah. So when I was reading that bit, I think if that was part of what people were like, I don't know, if I haven't read the reviews. I don't go too close to Goodreads.
Probably the best.
It's a bad place for authors.
The reviews are for readers.
And it's like, yes. And I think, like you said, it kind of, sometimes you end up looking for stuff when you're reading as well. I think I do it kind of after, but I feel like if I read reviews beforehand, like too many, you can end up like just already having an opinion about the book that you look to verify, kind of thing, rather than, but then also some reviews are like, well, this sounds great, even if it's a bad review. You're like, that sounds still like my cup of tea. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've been many of books like that.
Yeah.
So I give this one star, too much sex.
Woo-hoo, yeah, exactly. That is the perfect one, isn't it? It's like, oh, okay, I'll go check that one out.
Back catalogue, thank you.
That whole scene, like that part of the scene where he is biting her, and it's clear that, okay, she's not having fun anymore because it really hurts. And she wants him to stop, but he doesn't stop. And you're in his point of view. So you can understand why he can't. And I think if that had been written from her point of view, it
that wouldn't have
liked
bad.
Him much afterwards. But you can see why it happens. But how she responds after that, I still think it's fairly reasonable, because she's worked so hard against her natural instincts of being really, really scared of him, to trust him. And then when she has given in to all that trust, he then really hurts her and doesn't listen, when she's, crying and hitting him and trying to, and then she picks up a bit of concrete, as you do.
Yeah, and smacks her head. And then goes back to the worst other place that she knows, the only place she knows, to her sister.
Exactly.
And then she finds out that her sister's gone.
Yes. Yeah. So the militia have taken her, haven't they? She went to try and find, Amy went to try and find her. And they've said, right, you stay here then. I don't know. To keep her
More bait.
It's
bait to have her back, isn't it? If you're there, then we've got the tool
to control you, basically.
Mm-hmm. And we find Sasha as well, so again you go back and you're kind of, it's been an absolutely shitty moment she's had, she's gone all day to get back, gets back to the bus that they live in, finds Sasha, who's bruised up because she's been selling herself off to one of the soldiers who likes to play way too rough.
And
it just goes from bad to worse, really.
She's finally got back and thinks, she's escaped from that bad situation. But actually, when she looks at it, it's like, no, this situation is much worse.
Yes.
And then when she gets there, doesn't she, demands to find her sister, they refuse. And and then that's when the telepathic link comes in, isn't it? And she's in there. Just before we go on to that, though, there was one bit when she goes to talk to Sasha in the, and she's there in their, like, their bus home.
Yeah.
And she admits what's happened. And Sasha's like, as you do, trying to get the interesting details,
the juicy stuff
from her. And it's like an Easter egg, isn't it, when she talks about the book that she's read about, Sasha as a character likes romance novels, doesn't she? She always used to read romance novels, and she talks about, in some, they have two penises. And of course that's and it did make me think, so if you read romance novels, clearly you would be better prepared for the dragon apocalypse. So it's important work you're doing when you're reading these fantasy romance novels. It's just preparing you for every eventuality.
I'm going to tell my kids that. In case of a zombie apocalypse, tick box. In case of dragon,
that's it. Homicide, you'll be prepared. Box. Books have the answer to everything. You will never be surprised. You'll just look and be like, I read a book like that once.
That and The Simpsons, I think, are going to kind of set you up to take over the world if anything happens.
just an aside. So,
we don't have those often.
No, never.
No.
It was book related, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Mine wasn't. That's bad on me. So back to the book that we've read.
Back to the book and the telepathic link that comes in. Yes. And she's not as upset about that as I thought she would be.
No, it comes a little bit later, but not much.
Like I would really struggle having someone in my head. He doesn't seem to be able to hear everything she's thinking.
But he can pick up on emotions, it seems. So when she's sad, when she feels sad or is angry, he can pick up on those sort of tinges of things.
Yeah.
And then maybe that would be quite useful.
Could be, couldn't it? I mean, is that are we talking about creating the perfect hero in that they're devoted to you and they can read your emotions? So even when you go, I'm fine, they're like, no, you're clearly not.
Yeah, seriously.
You're annoyed. Yeah. Rather than just like, you're right, and carry on doing what they're doing.
I'll go and keep reading my paper. I'll play some more FIFA. Job done.
That's it. Yeah. I asked. She's fine. It's all right. So Yeah.
Brings me dinner, reads my mind, fixes mm-hmm. everything, nice and warm. I'm seeing yeah. not many failings. Doesn't talk.
Yeah. You can fashion a saddle and go flying on his back.
Yes. Wow. Oh, we forgot that she does make a saddle and she's got swimming yeah. goggles on when she turns up.
Yeah.
She turns up to see Sasha with swimming goggles on. Just little snippets like that do make me.
But it's really good though, because when she's done that because she tried it first without, and she gets a bug in the eye, doesn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, just real big smack in it. Yeah. I'd imagine that would probably take your eyeball out if you're flying fast enough.
I don't know. I mean, and how high are they? Are bugs up that high? I guess they are.
Rather a bug than a bird.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no birds about, okay? She does say that, doesn't she? All the birds disappear if the dragon...
Yeah, when the dragon comes, yeah. Just goes quiet.
If there's a dragon, it's like, no birds are flying, which makes sense, really, doesn't yeah. it?
Yeah, they're not yeah. stupid.
You're not going to run into a seagull by mistake, I think.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. So where were we? So yes, Sasha, she's gone to see Amy. Mm-hmm. They won't let her. So he's talking in her head. And then she's kind of sat there and she's like answering him out loud in front of like the captain. And he's like, are you talking to us? Because they've been grilling her, haven't they? So, has he got this? Has he got that? What are his weak points? When he's human, mm-hmm. what does this do? And she's like, okay, I thought you were trying to do this to help Fort Dallas, but you're obviously just trying to kill the dude. Come on. Yeah. And then he starts talking and she's like, what, where are you? You sound really close. What's going on? And they're like, are you talking to us? Are you talking to him? Where is he? What's going on? And it gets a little bit crazy chaotic, but I like it.
Yeah, it is good, that bit, because she's like so confused about it as well. She's like, what, who's in my head, who's talking to me? Can someone just, can you just be quiet for a minute, please, so I can figure this out.
Did you say that? No. Who the hell did?
But then but then they can actually talk to each other. So when he comes and gets her.
And he's very cocky.
Yeah.
He is so arrogant.
Yeah, he does get that way, doesn't he?
Oh, at the end when she talks to him that, yeah.
It's a very Han Solo moment, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, we will get to that as well. But they kind of like, you go, take him off, be gone. So she's like, she's trying to call a bluff, yeah? She's like, he says you've got to give me my sister, otherwise he's not leaving.
Yeah.
And he's like, we'll just shoot your sister, you've got to go.
Yeah.
So she's done all of this, struggled so hard to get there, and then she doesn't have anything else to do, she has to leave.
Yeah. And that's when he takes her back and she's terrified, because obviously the last time she saw him, even though when she was with the militia and they're trying to get this information about how to kill him, she's like, I don't want that, you know. Maybe I would have wanted that before when I didn't realize, but he's nice, he's a nice dragon, and I like him.
But
even if he scared me, even she's bite. Like, I don't want to do the sex anymore if you're gonna bite me, kind of thing. And he respects that, even though he tells her, I don't have to do that anymore, you have had my fires, my venom, isn't it?
Well, he's like, we won't do the sex, I won't do the biting, mm-hmm. I'll just keep going down on you until the cows come home,
you know.
Okay,
all right, you twisted my arm.
It's like... let's keep doing that then, shall we?
So he basically, takes her off, offers that, and along with, like you said, sofas and beds and clothes, you know, let's go shopping, basically, for a little bit.
Let's wash up, let's do all of the things. They find a massive lake, don't they? And they go and have a nice bath. Oh,
yeah, shampoo.
Way of a time.
I like that bit. I was like, that would have been good. That would have felt so good.
Oh, being clean for the first time in 7 years.
Really properly. And it's kind of like when she's settled into that and she's let herself just have that bit of time, and then she has, you know, a nightmare and she's worried about Amy, that's when she gets to that bit later on where she's just like really pissy at him. she's just like, Which, yeah, is understandable. She's just seesawing with emotions.
But it's like parental guilt, isn't it? It's like when you go somewhere for the weekend and you come home and the kids are like, we missed you so much. You can't believe you left us. It's like that. She's had so much fun. Yeah. And then that nightmare kicks in that her sister's calling her, and he's like, you pick her or you pick me.
Yeah.
There is no other way.
Well, that's what she's thinking, isn't it? Yeah. That's her subconscious. He doesn't actually make
that. That's what the dream is. Yeah, yeah. Amy's going one way and he's like, you go with her or you come with me, that's it. And then she wakes up to that.
Have you ever had one of those dreams? I don't know. Maybe this is just me. But have you ever had one of those dreams where your other half has done something in the dream that's really pissed you off and you've woken up and been really pissed off at them?
he was leaving me for another man. And it was like, the entire day I was so angry.
And it's like, even though your rational mind knows it was a dream, this isn't happening, but you feel it, don't you? So
it's so cross.
It's really visceral, and you wake up and you're like, oh, you git.
And it's like, he's like, I can't fix this. There's nothing I can do to fix this. I know.
So just, I got it. And she had like genuine, like, I mean, there is stuff that's going on. That isn't just her subconscious being weird.
No. There's a list. We've been through the list of things that have been going on.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the reviewers that don't like her so much are just, maybe they're not as pissy to people as I am.
I don't know if they were British or American. I think there are different takes on things, aren't there? So different people, obviously, but different cultures have different ways of doing things. We are pretty much the Keep Calm and Carry On nation. We have said that we need British spoilers on this, but
yeah, maybe.
we are supposed to be the miserable moany bunch, are we? So maybe that's how we get it. We're just used to it.
We're used to passive aggressive behavior in relationships,
pretty much. Yes.
Like, it's how you communicate a lot of the time. Yeah. Possibly not healthy, but there it is.
Yeah, we don't have so many therapists in this country, so we just kind of have to grin and bear it and have a cup of tea.
Yeah. So she wakes up and she's, all the guilt has flooded in. And then what happens then? It's
they need a plan. I think he's kind of says, doesn't he, if this is what we're going to do, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they get, somebody turns up.
Yeah.
We've got a new gold on the block.
Yeah. Another one. Yeah, mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about the other one.
No, I was going to say, there have been others on the way. Well, there have been others along the way, but they don't last very long. It just kind of explains to you a little bit about, so the reds, we find out, are female, and the golds are male. Yeah. And they've all gone a bit mental because they're all a little bit gagging for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So since they came through the rift. Yeah, pretty much. So they come through the rift and the women, the female dragons, go into heat and turn red. So because they're all constantly red, the males are constantly trying to get at them because that's how they show their mating signs. Red is the colour.
But the reds are not recognising it and don't want them to go near them.
No, they're too aggressive. So the men can't get the endo. I don't know. Would a dragon get its leg over?
They don't do it. Mount them. They just have to fight, don't they? They just have to subdue them because they don't actually do it when they're in dragon form, do they? That's why they have their two-legged form. Part of why.
Well, God, imagine the buildings they destroy.
Yeah.
Two of them together.
Yeah.
Gosh.
God. It's probably a good thing that they're not fighting. Yeah. All the time, the destruction will be even worse.
They die. They did. Mm. So we have a new one who seems to have a little bit of something about it. And I don't know if it's the case of Kyle remembered him or recalled him, or if he just loitered around and he knew that there was a female, but he wasn't pushing forward, was he? Because he knew she was mated.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think I know him. He's Dak. Dak.
We're thinking.
We're calling him Dak.
We're going to call him Dak.
Yeah. So they can communicate with each other mentally, but Claudia can't. She's only got her link to Kyle. So it's a bit of a weird three-way back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle is like, we're going to do this. We're going to go and save your sister and we're going to get him to help. He's going to be our distraction and we're going to get in and we're going to sort it.
Then they have a really interesting, like you say, the three-way conversation about the ethics of, well, if it helps to get rid of the madness and what he needs is to mate.
Yes.
And Kyle's like, let's get him a female. Well, let's do that.
She's like,
and she's like,
no,
hang
not.
On a second. No,
let's not
you can't
do that.
Just do that. And he's like, well, aren't you happy? Isn't this fine? You're happy with me. I'm looking after you, aren't I? And she's like, yeah, but that's not the point.
Yeah, it's one of those awkward conversations, isn't it? It's like,
really hard. yeah. You just don't get it.
I am, but... That butt is huge, huge butt.
And then they're like, well, why don't we ask them if they want to? So it kind of felt to me like, oh, they're thinking about like setting up some kind of like dragon dating agency.
Dating agency.
Just like speak to some women, go, look, here are your options. We're not sure whether or not it'll be all right, but this is what's happened for me. There are lots of these golds available. He'll take you away. He'll feed you. You won't have to sell yourself. But, I mean, but you kind of are anyway. It's like, it is a bit of a grey area there.
We won't dispute that there's not, because that does come up again a bit later. And it's like, but she's, it's not good. It's like, what are you going to do?
I was going to say, it's a rock and hard place situation.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So Dak agrees to come along and be a diversion. But, you know, Kyle's like, he's agreed. He's not going to, like, kill loads of people.
Yeah,
he's just going to
be fine.
He's going to be fine. And then he just goes mental, doesn't he?
Yeah. So the conversation is her going, is this going to be all right? Because his eyes are pretty black. And, Kyle's like, yeah, it's fine. He's my mate. He's cool. He's cool. They get there. And then it's like, no, Dak's off. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's had too many vodka Red Bulls and he's gone.
And she's like, right, we've got to leave then. He's like, well, no, we're here now. So,
let's enjoy the day.
Let's just carry on.
Let's get your sister.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they go, they get Sasha. So they get her first. They do, don't they?
They do, yeah. Because she goes to the bus first, doesn't she?
Yes. And she's cowering, isn't she? Because they've sounded the alarm. So there's two dragons.
Yeah.
So when the dragons turned up, they've got all like the alarms and the warning system where everybody kind of duck and cover. So she goes, finds Sasha, who has got a busted arm now.
Yeah.
So she's bruised and her arm has been snapped by this dude. And you're like, again, the rock and the hard places.
Yeah. She's not exactly in a great situation, is she?
No. Yeah, she's like, why are you doing it? It's like, because we got to eat. And it's
to be fair to her, she's like, you know, Claudia says, come on, come with me. This is the better thing to do.
This is the better
option. You'll be safer. And she's like, all right, then. You know, she climbs on the back of a dragon. But they can't get strapped in. There's not time. People are coming at them with guns because, you know,
fire sticks,
understandably.
Fire sticks.
Fire sticks. Which is funny.
Like
it feels like a metaphor for something else that he calls it that.
They've all got the fire sticks out. But she's like, this is the better of the options. Jump on his back. What happens? She falls off.
And then
she gets snatched by Dak and dragged away into the night.
Which is, of course, book two.
Yes. Is it book two or book three?
It's book two.
It's
book two. And I have to say, I really like that one. I like this one, but book two's like, I just found some of that really, really sweet and funny.
I found it very weird with all of them because I've read a load now that it's not the same every time. It's the same principle of she talks, he doesn't, and they have to build that language barrier or lack of language barrier, and it's different and it's done really well but differently, and I'm like, how are you doing that? How do you manage that? My brain doesn't compute.
Yeah, it is. It's, I mean, that is like kind of the whole thing about romance, you know, when people go, oh, it's predictable and it's the same story. It's like, but it's not. It's not always, it's how the story plays out, which is what makes it fun and interesting. And
yeah,
and yeah, Ruby Dixon manages to do that in, like you saying, really tight parameters of her trope. Mm. You know, she doesn't wander very far from the, I mean, are they all fated mates? All the books I've read have either been fated mates or marriage of convenience.
I think most of them. So there's the Ice Barbarians, which is like, I can't even remember, 20 something books in last time I checked, because they brought the other spoilers. They brought the other, there will be spoilers in. They brought the other Islanders in, and there was some, the Corsairs that I read recently.
Okay.
I think those are maybe not so much fated mates, but they're kind of,
ones. Mm-hmm.
No, they're kind of thrust together. And it kind of all works out that they are kind of perfect for each other in a roundabout way. So,
well,
I suppose, is that like an only one bed thing, but there's like four and four?
Okay.
Kind of like that, yeah. So they all have to get split off. So there's four women and four men, and something happens. And one woman has to go with one, and one has to go with another.
Oh, so it's like, I mean, that's also part of it, isn't it? Like forced proximity type thing. Yeah. But it's... yeah, it's not a fated mates thing, but it is forced proximity. And, you know, again, that's romance, isn't it? If you're going to get trapped with someone in a situation, they're going to end up being your happily ever after. Otherwise, it's like you're not in a romance novel.
No. So, I don't know what you're in. You're not in. You may be in a thriller. I don't know. But then if you're in a thriller, then
that's a very different situation. Yeah, who you're trapped with.
Run away.
Very different. definitely. Where were we? So Sasha, we digressed on Sasha.
Yes, we did. But again, into books. Yes. Again. So we've lost Sasha. We find Sasha. Hi, how you doing? Oh no, we've lost Sasha. But we'll find her again. It's okay.
Yeah.
But now we're looking for Amy. So we've gone to find Amy. So it's kind of it's not good when we do find Amy.
No.
No, so there are more fire sticks. And the mayor has the sister, with like a gun to the head kind of situation. And there's not much you can do with that, even with a dragon at your back.
And that's the moment that it was like, you know, Claudia's been quite Khaleesi on the back of her dragon, you know, feeling quite, you know, she's flying around and she's tamed her dragon. And then he doesn't want to land. She's like, well, F you, I'm getting off. And she like seriously regrets it. She's like, that was not badass. I thought it was.
Do you know what? Have you seen Ragnarok? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where Hulk comes out of the plane. That was just the perfect thing for me. And he's like, I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
Cracks
his
knuckles and just lands on the Rainbow Bridge. Perfect for
me. That's it. It was little moments like that, which are just like, they're really cool.
It makes it more human.
It does, because you get all of the cool stuff that you want with dragons, but you also get like these little touches of, if it was you wouldn't be you know, suddenly able to backflip off of a dragon,
you would slide
hand to hand. You would land on your back on the roof and be winded.
Just give me a minute.
But she's down there then, and she's done it. She's, because she can't, you know, she can't possibly just fly off when her sister's there with a gun to her head. So they're stuck then at an impasse, isn't it? The mayor doesn't want to give Amy up because she's going to be the only way he can control Claudia and therefore control the dragon.
The dragon.
Well, to go away. I mean, I don't know where his logic came. He was like, I can't shoot the dragon because bullets don't work on the dragon. I can't shoot Amy because if I shoot Amy, there's no reason for me to still be alive.
Yeah.
Dragon's just going to eat me. Claudia's not going to care. So I'll shoot Claudia.
Yeah, that won't piss him off at all.
I don't know where. I guess he was out of options too. There wasn't a lot.
Well,
I mean, maybe he could have gone inside He could have like taken Amy inside. But it's a dragon. He's going to rip the building to pieces.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, it wouldn't be much of a book if he went, do you know what? I think I've regretted all these decisions I've made. Yeah. I'll hand her over. You can leave with your dragons and it's probably going to work out quite nicely. It's not going to work that way.
No. I mean, it was, you know, when you've pissed someone off to that extent, even if he'd gone, okay, you can have Amy. Here, have her. You would still be like 90% sure you were going to get eaten, wouldn't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, you know, I have not treated this person well. It's, you know.
Yeah, you're going to lose at least a limb. So, you know.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, he shoots her and she's kind of falling and she's like, then she kind of admits that, you know, as she's fading away, she's sorry and take care of my sister and I love you. Yeah. And then it goes black.
Yes. Oh. And then you switch over into Kyle.
For him, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Amy's going mental, like, help her fix it, do something, get a doctor. And he's learned a new word.
Yeah, doctor, new word. Doctor. And he just, it's afterwards, isn't it? When they get back, he does, you know, he takes them back. He's rescued Amy as well and Claudia, and he's brought a doctor
both,
as well. Yeah. And Claudia wakes up and she's got this, they're telling her about how he just terrified everyone walking through the streets screaming for a doctor.
Yeah, just carrying this bloody corpse.
Yeah, and then like the doctor just fainted and he was like, well, you'll do, you won't put up much of a fight, so
he just grabs them all and off he goes.
Yeah.
But she's okay. She's been shot, but it's kind of, it's flesh wound. Tis but a scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, obviously.
And I think that's when, finally there is a moment, isn't there, right at the end when she's accepted that she wants to be with him and she gets a choice because Kyle's off somewhere, I don't know, looking for goats or something for dinner. Yeah, gone to do the shopping. And Amy's like, I've been talking to the doctor and
it's Melina, isn't it?
Melina, yeah, because I think
she comes in later.
She's gonna be in the book, isn't she, later?
Yeah, I don't think she's got it yet. No, I don't think it's that. Last I read, I won't go too far. Last I read, she was about with somebody else who,
right?
Yeah, the other type of thing, not the people, not the dragon, the other thing,
yeah. At the end of the last book that I read, I've only read up to book 3 and it's mentioned just at the end.
Yeah, so there is some other creature. Yeah. I can't remember
the name for the book. And I wasn't expecting that, to be fair.
No.
I wasn't expecting her to
progression
crop up again. I didn't even remember until I reread this one that she was in it, that she was the doctor. But yes, they've had a talk and they're like, right, we can, you know, we'll try and get out of here. You know, we'll try and escape. There's three of us. We can do this. And Claudia's like, do you know what? No. Yeah. I've got a choice now. I'm not on my own struggling to do it, but I want to stay. And that's like, that's her finally getting the choice when she's had no choices up to that point.
Well, yeah. And she makes the first choice for herself. She kind of realises that.
Yeah.
And she's a bit pissed at her sister, isn't she? Because her sister kind of keeps pushing and this and that and the other. And she's like, I've done all of this and I've made the right choices and you need to, this is the right thing to do. This is the best choice. And her sister's like, ooh. And I think, she's kind of seeing the other side of it.
Yeah. And Kyle comes home and picks up on her welcoming mood and just yoinks her sister out.
It takes her sister. So she's there like, oh my god, it's over, he's a dragon, he's coming back. And then he steals her off the roof
and she's like, hang on, did I completely what's
did
on?
I make that up?
Like, don't worry, I sensed your mood, darling, and I'm creating the atmosphere. Just giving us some privacy.
Oh, bless. And then the best bit that might just it was something about I can't remember the exact bit. But it was like, I love you. He's like, I know. Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. I expected that to be bigger. He's like, I can read your thoughts. I know.
Yeah, I knew. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why would you not?
I can feel your emotions. You're totally into me. I've got zero insecurities in this relationship.
I'm here, I'm naked, I'm gold, I'm well buff, you know, what more do you need?
Exactly.
And then they do it again with a bullet wound and everything.
Ouch.
I'd imagine that would be quite painful. It's only like a week later. I'd imagine that's quite...
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's that whole thing of it went clean through. Bullet wounds are usually like in films and books. If they don't want to get in the way of the plot too much and like people die, then it's like, it's just a flesh wound. It just goes through. So it's just a bit sore.
Yeah. Well, this isn't it. Until you start writing things and you start researching things, you're like, oh, actually, this is this. It's like I researched something about chloroform and it's like, yeah, you can't really use that because it takes like 20 minutes to work. And you're like, oh. Yeah. So every single film I've seen is wrong. And then you've got like 15 nurses and doctors going, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It just.
What about an injection? No, that wouldn't work either. That'd just kill them. Okay.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, Google searches of writers are always fun. So, yes, I'd imagine, I would think it would take more than a week, but...
I don't know, yeah, who knows? Maybe it's the future, maybe. I mean, no, you'd have been using pretty heavy calibre bullets, wouldn't you, if you were trying to shoot a dragon?
Well, yeah, in 2 years' time, we might have some sort of newfangled brand spanking thing that fixes bullets really easy. What else have been? Yeah. It's been locked down. People have had a year and a bit to do stuff.
Yeah.
I've not. But I'm sure someone has.
Add another 2 years to it. I'm sure someone's been concentrating on that.
Yeah. Yeah. You be productive because I've not been.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried, but. But yes, yeah, so they're all good and they bone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's happily ever after.
Oh, he's so good. And we do a quick snippet into Sasha's.
Yeah, they give you a little, you get a little teaser. Little teaser of that. And then epilogue.
Yeah. Oh, well. Always an epilogue. It can't be an epilogue unless there's some sort of baby in there somewhere.
Yeah. She likes the baby epilogues, doesn't she?
Yeah. But that's more of a historical thing I found. Whenever I read historicals, if there's an epilogue, I know there's going to be a baby in there somewhere.
Usually. Yeah. I think
dragon babies,
they seem quite chilled about it. I mean, I think I would be a little bit more concerned about
what size would the egg be like.
yeah
because she sort of says, is it going to be a baby or an egg? And I'm like, I hope it's a baby.
I just had visions of like Jack from The Incredibles, you know, when he's like changing shape and stuff. Is that happening inside you? How big do these babies get? Do they stay like small? It would be a concern, definitely. And also, I always feel a bit bad for couples when it's like they've only just got together and then, you know, and then they've got a sprog on the way, like straight away. You're like, come on, you need a few years to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, have a holiday. Go somewhere where you don't have to worry about a kids club or getting up at 8 in the morning.
You know, the dystopia world for having babies is a bit of a worry too. It's not, you know, I would have been happy without the epilogue, honestly. I know some people love them. But I mean, it works with or without, really, but... Yeah, I wonder how
you would explain contraception to a dragon.
Well, by the sound of it, you couldn't find anything that worked anyway.
I was going to say, it would just melt on contact, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
It'd be just, like cling film too close to the cooker.
and then when he would finish, it would be like, there'd just be a hole, wouldn't there? It'd just go straight through. There is no point. Why would you bother?
Yeah, we tried but failed. It's just, I'm trying to think now if all the others have babies in them. They just have to, don't they, at the end?
I don't know,
no other way around it.
Yeah. Sure. Might have to go back and check.
Yeah, just reread them all now.
We'll have to do like a bingo thing. It's like, you know, epilogue baby bingo. Tick. Yeah.
Job done.
Yeah.
Our alpha male check, always there. So, Yeah, it finishes on a high note, as it has to. Our happily ever afters have to be there.
So we've kicked off with our first episode with dragons and just like a classic alpha fated mates like story by legendary Ruby Dixon, who's obviously getting a lot of love these days. People have discovered
The book talk.
Yes. I felt quite cool when everybody discovered her, because like, I read her a few years ago.
I remember the tweet. A tweet I saw like a few years ago, and it's like, have you read about the blue barbarian people? I'm like, what is this?
Well, I'm going to.
I am now.
Yep.
We've going for ages.
We've picked a trope like from this. I don't know if this is a common trope, but I have seen quite a few books with it in. So we're going with the whole motif of the heroine being a sacrifice to the hero, and it being kind of a enemies to lovers type thing as well. Because as it would be if you're going to be sacrificed to them, you're not going to be keen, are you?
Well, I was going to say, it's not the bestest of friends.
And that will lead into our second episode.
Next book.
Yes, our next book, where we are going to talk about Pestilence by, what's the author's name again?
Okay, we are uncertain of the British/American translation.
Yeah.
I would have said, as a United Kingdom-y person, Laura Thalassa, but you think it could be...
Could be Thalassa, maybe.
I don't know. If anybody listens to this and knows... Yeah. If anybody listens to this full stop, thanks. And then, next sentence and knows, then please let us know and we will correct accordingly. But yes, so Pestilence, one of the four horsemen, this one is. So yes, I'm very much looking forward to this. Again, I've lots of Facebook groups and things, people have upped and downed on this, so we shall see.
It is a very interesting book. It was one you recommended to me. We've been recommending books to each other for the last year, haven't we? Which is kind of what's led to this.
Thing.
Leading and me down nice different mix. Paths of reading than I would have gone.
I was going to say, I'm kind of thinking who led who where. When you've given me some, I'm like, oh, I've never gone that way before. And I think I've taken you a bit darker, and I think you've taken me a bit more fantasy-ish, epic fantasy. Oh, okay. Than what I was previously.
Yeah. I'm quite into the fae stuff and things like that.
But yes, that is book two, which is it's a slightly different sacrificial, because I think the first one was more forced.
Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And this one is picked. She chooses to take this path.
Yeah. And we can get all into that on the next episode.
Next week. Yes.
Lovely.
But yes, do we do some little bits about following us?
Yes, we can do. That would be good, wouldn't it?
If you found this, awesome, wicked, we'd love to know how. We are on Twitter, which is at SFF Romcast. And Instagram.
Yeah, which is the same. It's the same. We've pretty much got the same thing everywhere. We're on BookTok too.
Yes.
And it's that, and YouTube.
Yes, there is a channel that will be up and running. So, if you're watching, listening on YouTube, you know that already. Well done. Go you. Yes.
Let us know what you think. If you've got any comments, if you've read the books, if you're going to read the books after we talk about it, if you've got any suggestions for ones you think we should try, that would be great.
Yes. Excellent.
Right. And we will be sign here up. Next week.
Yes, we shall. Boots blacked and hopefully all in order.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.